Okay, good morning. Can you hear me? So as usual, I'm early, 5 minutes early. Chit-chat session. Any comments on questions? Fewer people, right? No need to be so scared. So maybe you are more willing, I'm trying, more willing to share, or if you have some doubts or some questions, you're most welcome to ask. Any ticker? I can also talk. It's not a problem. A monologue. After teaching for 20 years, when I first start, you're always worried, 1.5 hours, you know, how am I going to get over it? Where do I find enough things to... I don't need... But do you think it's loud enough? Okay. Really loud. No. After 20 years of teaching, seems like become more chonghei, long-winded, you know, talk and talk and talk and talk. It's like, oh, run out of time already, okay, we better stop. Yeah. But when you first start, you know, you prepare my speech, you know, have notes, and then must make sure, you know, just in case I run out of things to say. Okay, no need that. I'll just repeat their question. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, so any question? I'll repeat your question. So you cannot speak too soft because I'm half deaf. So you really have to speak loud, and then I'll repeat your question. I think for the recording, yeah. Anybody? This should be the third session of this course. Not that people respect that, because they drop in, no, and then they sort of start over again. Yeah, but so I'm most welcome. I most welcome people to drop into my meditation course. And I always promise that if I bump into you on the road, I will not ask you, hey, how come I haven't seen you for the last few sessions? So you can always drop off at any point of time. The main reason is because I don't remember who attend my course and who haven't. Any taker? So what we have covered... Just in case some of you are new, I'm still chit-chatting because it's not quite 10:30 yet. We talk about calm abiding meditation, which is the theme of this course. Yeah, calm abiding is probably, maybe the name is unusual, but previously people, when I was first start learning about meditation, we used to call it concentration meditation. Yeah, concentration. So over the years, I don't like this word concentration. Because people have different ideas when you use the word concentration. They always feel like they need to work very hard to concentrate. Like they get very tense, you know, they even work themselves into a headache. You know. I mean, how hard must you be meditating to meditate until you got a headache? You must be tensing up a lot of muscles. So I tend to joke, I call it constipated practice. Like when you're constipation, right, then you try to squeeze something out, right? And so, that is not an uncommon idea people have when they hear the word concentration. They thought I must work very hard. Because at work or study, right, you don't really want to do it, right? So you force yourself. So you concentrate, so-called concentrate, means you are keep forcing and forcing and forcing. So by the end of the school day or the work day, you are completely exhausted. Because a lot of your energy went into the forcefulness, forcing your attention, forcing your mind to focus on something that you probably deep down felt very uninteresting, right? So a lot of very forceful way of engagement, and that's the connotation people have with the word concentration. And that is the notion that I would like you to abandon, you know, because if you were to have that same idea when you bring it into meditation, it's not going to help you because it becomes more stressful, and then at the end of your meditation, you'll be even more tired than you, you know, because after all, you have been forcing your mind, forcing yourself to focus. Whereas, that's why I prefer this term calm abiding. Calm abiding. You know, so calming all the things that have been disturbing your body and mind, so you allow them to settle down, to calm down. And the word abiding means abiding is like resting, you know, you rest your mind, your attention on something. No need effort, right? Don't tell me, oh, I work very hard to rest. No, you just rest. You just place it there and you just leave it alone. So resting, abiding. Right? Because also sometimes when people do this kind of meditation, it's like I think they try to imprison their mind. They say, if the mind were to wander off to something else, I'm being bad. I'm a bad meditator. So I don't want to be a bad meditator. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lock my mind up with the, let's say, the breath. Like, put them both in jail, like that, you know, lock them up. You are not allowed to leave the breath. You must stay there because I said so. It's quite violence, don't you think? Like, for something very peaceful, we employ a lot of aggression and violence in our meditation. So, whereas the word abiding doesn't imply that kind of violence. You're not trying to lock your mind up with whatever you're meditating on. You're simply allowing your mind, your attention to rest on that object, rest on that support. So much more peaceful, isn't it? Resting. Abide. No. You must stay there, okay? You die, you must stay the breath. Don't you dare to wander off, okay? So I hope, and you might find it strange why I put a lot of emphasis on the attitude we bring into our meditation as opposed to the technique. And I just made this figure up. I used to say, depending on my mood, I sometimes say, oh, meditation is 90% attitude, 10% technique. Then if I feel lucky, I say, meditation is 99% attitude, 1% technique. But anyway, the technique is unimportant. It's just something that supports you. But the attitude you bring to your meditation is the most important thing. Right? If you get your attitude kind of a bit distorted, then it will transform or even spoil your whole meditation experience. Okay, you'll find meditation very difficult, very frustrating, very unpleasant. There's nothing peaceful about it. Whereas if you get the attitude right, every meditation session you have from now on will always be a good session. Yeah. And so that is the challenge I sometimes issue to people. From this point on, every meditation, every single one that you have, you will say it is a good session. Right? Doesn't matter, even if you fall asleep, after, once the bell goes, no, you slept through the whole thing until the finishing bell, it's a good meditation session. Or you're off somewhere, you know, wandering around the world, your world tour during the meditation, it's still a good session. Yeah. So if you understand why, you can transform any meditation session into a good one. Okay? If you get the attitude right, because you always can learn something about yourself, about your own mind, about your own habits, if you have the right attitude. That's regardless of what is actually happening in your meditation. And this is a very important thing. This is something, not the main point, but if you can get that attitude right, you'll always be happy with your meditation. It's always good enough, or more than good enough, isn't it? One of the things that I think people find it difficult and maybe frustrating with their meditation is they always have this good session and the bad session. Because I teach meditation, right? So if people come, if those that I sort of meet kind of regularly, then they always say, oh, last week, all bad sessions. And then occasionally say, oh, last week was wonderful sessions. So it's like a yo-yo like that. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and good, and bad, and bad. Then they always find me very strange. I don't have any reactions. Good sessions, okay lor. Bad sessions, also okay lor. Because after you have bad sessions, sooner or later you have a good one, right? Then after you have a good one, sooner or later you have a bad one, right? So you always go up and down. But the trick is, instead of labeling some sessions as good, some sessions as bad, every single session is a good session. So I have been having good sessions every day for many, many years now. See, that's the secret. So when people say, oh, you meditate, how's your meditation lately? Oh, excellent, you know, wonderful. So that's the secret. That's how you can answer. You don't want to say, oh yeah, very bad, you know, lately. Then you don't look nice, right? You're a poor meditator, no. You want to look like I'm a good meditator, isn't it? So that's the secret, okay? All right, so let's start. Just to review a little bit what I have covered previously. So we covered calm abiding meditation and how to cultivate calm abiding meditation, how to calm our mind and our body of all the things that are disturbing them, so that at least our body can abide comfortably in meditation posture, and our mind can abide peacefully and continuously on whatever it is we are meditating on. Right? So that is calm abiding. And I have introduced two different types of this kind of meditation, two different supports. One is the breath, and last week I introduced loving kindness. So the breath is a kind of tactile sensations. So we use the breath sensations, which is like bodily, physical sensations, as a support for our attention, right? So that we can continuously and repeatedly return our attention to rest on the breath, okay? And last week I introduced another support, which is loving kindness. Loving kindness is a quality of the heart, right? And when you are very familiar with it, and quite often it comes with certain feeling that we associate with love, with care and concern. So a very pleasant, kind of warm feeling, yeah, that quite often we identify, oh, that is the feeling of love, a feeling of kindness, yeah. So these two supports each have their own individual technique, how to work with them, right? Breath is the easiest, you know, because no one can come and say, oh, I'm sorry, today meditation session, I forgot my breath. I forgot to bring it along. You have no excuse, right? It's always with you, right? So it's in a sense, that's why it's all quite commonly used. Because you just have to learn, pay attention, and you will notice the breath. So it's very easy to find this support. It's readily available. And therefore, there is one hurdle gone, you know, because you can always easily find your breath. If you can't, there was this story. I don't think it's Buddhist. I think maybe it's Hindu. But it's about meditation, about some guy mistakenly by the side of the river told his teacher he don't know what is his breath. He cannot find his breath. So this is a very violent teacher. The teacher grabbed his neck, his head, and pushed it down into the water, you know, for a few seconds, or not too long. But by the time he released him, I'm sure his disciple can find the breath. You become very aware of the breath, isn't it? So breath is easy because you don't need hard work to locate the sensations of the breath. What is then the challenge then is learn to come back to it, you know, and learn to allow the attention, the mind to abide with the breath, to rest on the breath. That takes a bit of time, yeah. Now, loving kindness is a different type of support. It is, first of all, difficult to find that feeling of loving kindness, right? I mean, maybe you guys are much better than me. You know, you can love on demand. Just press the button and this loving feeling will well up in your heart. But I'm not like that, you know. So if I want to use loving kindness as the support for my meditation, I need more technique to learn to get in touch with our natural quality of kindness, of love, right? And then that becomes the support. Then I just have to keep returning my attention to that quality of loving kindness. Yeah. So, but there's a great advantage, which is what I want to talk about loving kindness, is when you get in touch with your natural loving heart, the loving feeling, you don't really want to think about anything else, isn't it? After all, we spend our whole life looking for love. And here it is, free flow. You know, like those soft drinks or whatever you, what is it, 7-Eleven or whatever, you buy one, you get a cup and then you can just keep refilling it, isn't it? So this is free flow love. And don't even need another person. Never mind, forget it. No, boyfriend, girlfriend, anyway, I have love to give. Yeah. And so it's something very wonderful. And you find that your mind naturally gravitates towards it. Your attentions come back to it. So it's a much easier object to to learn to rest your mind on, because it's so pleasant, it's so wonderful. Right? The only problem is, you know, probably your tap run dry quite quickly, lah. You know, after a while, then it stops. Okay. So there are different supports and for meditation suitable for different people. Right? So in this course, I will introduce four different supports. So I encourage you to try them out and find one that suits you the most. Okay? And some people find the breath wonderful. Other people find it so boring, they can't stand it. Then some people may find loving kindness, this is it, this is what I want. Then people will say, I don't do those touchy-feeling meditation, right? Don't you guide those touchy-feeling meditation in the course? And I say, don't worry, you won't feel anything. So you won't be touchy-feeling, yeah. So later I will introduce another type, which is visualization. So the important thing is to find one that works for you, most effective for you, and you can use it to cultivate calm abiding, okay? All right, so that's roughly what I've covered. And today I want to sort of present some ideas behind calm abiding. You know, what are some of the principles that we can come back to help us move forward in our meditation practice? So those of you who have attended the first two classes will know that I usually present meditation in a three-step process. Step one is acquiring a seat, acquiring a supportive seat, which includes not just like whether you're sitting on the floor, on the cushion, or on the chair, but also include the posture you're going to adopt for meditation. So that's the first step. And then the second step is called helping your body and your mind to transition into meditation, to set aside whatever it is that might be bothering you physically, mentally, emotionally, so that you can return your full attention to your meditation. Yeah. And the third step, I call it deepening meditation. So once you transition into meditation, how can I go deeper into my own meditation? Right? And I have some ideas behind why I organize it this way. See, calm abiding is a meditation where we calm our system, body and mind, of things that disturb them. So when there are less disturbance to your mind, to your attention, then it's more likely that your attention will rest or stay with whatever it is you're meditating, because there are less things to disturb it. You know? So you're not, let's say you don't experience pain in your body, so there's no need to think about the pain, your body, that much, isn't it? Whereas those of you who you unfortunately choose the wrong posture, you know, it's a big mistake. Because after a few minutes into the meditation session, you say, it's getting a bit painful. You know? And then you get more painful. You get even more painful. You say, then the whole meditation session will be, should I move? Should I not move? Should I move? Should I not move? Yeah. So the pain becomes the focus instead of the breath or where it is. And it's sort of, you can see how that physical discomfort disturb your mind, disturb your body, right? So by choosing the wrong seat, by choosing the wrong posture, you are increasing the disturbance instead of settling the disturbance, okay? So that's physical disturbance. Then likewise, there's mental disturbance. When I was working to a conventional 9-to-5 job, my morning meditation tends to be filled with emails that I need to write today. I don't know why I'm drafting my email in my early morning meditation, but I have this compulsion. I must remember to write this email to this person, write that email, then sometimes I even draft the content of the email. So work intrudes into my early morning meditations. Right? And that is a disturbance, because the energy of my attention, instead of coming back and resting on the breath, went repeatedly to those basically things in my life that, you know, that are grabbing my attention, my concern, that I worry about. You know, and I don't think I'm the exception, right? I'm sure you're also similar. You know? So if something happens in our life that impacts us, then we find that our mind, you know, tends to go there. We find it very hard to set it aside. That's where stress comes in. You know, we get stressed by it. Okay, so those are disturbance of the mind. So if you want to be successful in our karma abiding, we need to learn first how to start this process of settling the disturbance of body and mind. How to start, not because we don't worry about how to finish them. That comes much later in our meditation journey, when we reach a stage where both body and mind have completely let go of all this disturbance. Then that is a different type of experience. Yeah. But now we want to be concerned with how to begin the process of settling down, of letting go of all this disturbance. So we start about physical settling down, which is why the first step is acquiring a supportive seat. Okay? First, get that right. And then the second step is this thing about transition. Right? The transition is both physical and mental. And physical, I present in the last two sessions, is very simple, to help our body to release all those tension, those tightness. Sometimes I call them our physical reaction, our bodily reaction. And often they are reactions to things that happen to us, maybe what is happening in our current circumstances. And some of those tension comes from past experience, like trauma or past habits, you know. So they manifest in our body in the form of different kind of holding. Sometimes it affects our posture, and they're quite persistent, yeah. Which is why I always say having a massage is a little bit of a waste of money, you know. Well, during the massage, I relax. Oh, 1 hour, very good. But unfortunately, after my massage stops, it starts to come back. Even when I'm still on the massage table. Don't you think it's such a tragic? And by the time, a few hours later, you're all back to normal again. Oh. I'm just joking. So those are habitual holding of our body. And they are the things that we first have to learn to release some of them so that the body feel more and more comfortable to settle into the posture, right? And the method I've been presenting is just very simple. Just very gently return your attention to the different parts of the body. You know, don't even need to do anything. Just come back and say, it's like just inquiring, oh, my dear body, how are you doing today? You know, be in touch with the different parts of your body and say, oh, like for example, oh, why am I tensing up my forehead so much? You know, maybe nothing stressful at the moment? Can I relax that a bit? You know, or I usually tense up the muscles around my eyes for no good reason, right? It's just a habit. Then if I notice it, can I relax that? And immediately you feel so much better. Okay? Some tensions you cannot release so easily, like those in the shoulder or neck. You know, the different ways we contract to protect ourselves. But still, it's good to just come back and be aware of it, you know, with a gentle touch of your attention to be aware of the state of your body. And you'll find that that act of reconnecting your mind, your attention with your body will begin this process of physical settling down. That the body can, given time, start to loosen up, start to unwind a bit, and some of those tension you can let go of. Okay, so that is physical settling, which I have kind of mentioned in the last two sessions. Right? So this is a very important, I find it's a very important principle to remember. Most people are in too much of a hurry to meditate. Oh, meditate. So we don't give enough time for the body to settle. Now today I want to talk about mental settling, to begin the process of settling your mind down. How to reassure your mind that everything is okay? No need to be so agitated, no need to be so speedy, you know, so anxious. How to settle your mind? And the way to settle your mind is to allow your mind, your attention, to be in touch with pleasant sensations. Pleasant sensations that come from your meditation. Okay? Because you can understand, pleasant means something nice, right? You know, something enjoyable. It also means that things are okay. No, pain is telling you things are not okay. Something is wrong. You must do something about it. But whereas you experience pleasure, it's like something nice, this is good for you, not necessary, but you know, we tend to like it, you know. And so it's reassuring for your mind. And the more your mind is in touch with pleasure, pleasant sensations that come out of your meditation, the more your mind say, I think this is a good place to be. I want to stay here longer. I want to be here. I don't really want to think about anything else. And that is the beginning of mental settling. Settling your mind, calming your mind of all those distraction and disturbance. Allowing your mind to contact anything pleasant, anything comfortable that come out of the meditation. Mobile phone is all pervasive. Okay, does it make sense? Yeah. Right, so that's so this first meditation, we are going to experiment a bit with it, using loving kindness as a support. All right. And how many of you didn't attend last week's session? Anybody? Oh, there's a lot. Okay. Let me just explain a little bit how to do this loving kindness, and then we'll do it together. And see whether we can experiment and you can verify when the mind is in touch with something pleasant from within your meditation, it has a calming effect on the mind. Right? So loving kindness is defined as the intention or the quality of mind, the wish for yourself or others to be happy, to find happiness and the causes of happiness. And the way we meditate on loving kindness in the way I'm teaching is to use a few simple sentences or phrases to convey the our understanding of what it means to love. Right? So the phrases, the words, is the support. We repeat it mentally, slowly and mindfully during the meditation. And it becomes a support for your attention. And we can continuously bring our attention back to the words. Yeah. And as we get used to the words, as we pay more attention to the meaning and intention behind the words, sometimes our heart can respond and the feeling or the emotion of love and kindness can actually manifest within our own experience. So I use a few standard phrases and you're most welcome to start with them. But yeah, you can always change the wording to something that are more meaningful for you. So I usually we start with ourselves. May I live in safety? So this first line is wishing that I have a sense of safety and security, which I think is very important. For without the sense of safety, you can't really be happy. Right? May I live in safety? May I be happy? Which is wishing myself to have mental happiness, cheerfulness, joyfulness. May I be happy? Third one is, may I be healthy, wishing myself to have physical well-being, no aches, no pain, no illness, no trouble with the body. May I be healthy. And the last one is, may I live with ease. May everything in life move smoothly and easily. And so there's no hassle, no inconvenience, no problems and troubles. So may everything move smoothly and easily. May I live with ease. May I live in safety? May I be happy? May I be healthy? May I live with ease? So we say that and direct it towards ourselves, and also we can direct it towards others, people close to you. You can bring them to mind and you can repeat the phrases and offer it to them. Okay, so let's do a meditation on this. I'll guide you. And take a few moments and find a supportive posture for your body. And the most important aspect of the meditation posture is to ensure that your back, your spine is upright in a natural way. You don't really need to tense up your back muscle to straighten your spine up, but you just find a position that allows the spine to be naturally upright, the chest to be open so you can breathe freely and easily. So those of us sitting on the floor or cushion is good. Then we can cross our leg in whichever way is most comfortable for us. And you're most welcome to adjust the posture or move if there's any aches or pain during the meditation. Those of us sitting on the chair, I suggest to have both feet firmly planted on the ground. And if your feet cannot touch the ground, it's good to put a cushion there so that the feet actually is resting on something solid. Yeah. Hands, you can rest them in your lap or on your knees. And eyes, you can close them completely if you like. So give your body a few moments to find its way into the posture. To see if you can become aware of sensations at the points of contact between your body and your seat, your body and the ground. And see if you can allow your body to notice that it is resting on something very firm, solid and stable. Something that is able to fully support your body in this posture, keep it well balanced and safe. So much so that your body can begin this automatic process of just loosening up, letting go of any unnecessary tightening, contraction in the body. And just very gradually, at its own pace, it can settle down comfortably into the posture. So that is the step number one, acquiring a seat. And for step number two, helping our body and mind to transition into meditation. Here we can make use of the breath, just for a few minutes at the beginning of the meditation. See if you can rest your attention on the breath sensations in your body. Allow yourself to be aware of the breath, your in-breath and your out-breath. So notice breath sensations maybe around your nostrils, where you can feel the air flow in and out. Or you can notice breath sensations at your chest, expanding, contracting. And some of us may even notice the breath at the abdomen, the movements of rising and falling. So for a few minutes, rest your attention on the breath and feel free to return your attention to the breath. If you do notice that your attention has wandered off elsewhere, which is a perfectly normal thing for your mind to do, just gently come back to the breath. And in particular, see if you can give special attention to your out-breath, so that as you breathe out, you experience it as a movement of release. We release the stale air in our lungs as we breathe out. And maybe you can also give permission for anything unhelpful, unwanted in your body and mind to also flow away with the breath. Coming back to the breath, and especially as you breathe out, reminding yourself to release. Might be a good idea to start with your face, as we have more conscious control over the facial muscles. So at least see if you can release any tension or discomfort in your face, loosen up any tightening of the muscles of your forehead, muscles around the eyes or of the jaw. So as you breathe out and release, see if you can let in a feeling of softness, of ease and comfort into your own face. So coming back to your breath, with each out breath, allow your body and mind to deepen the sense of release at their own pace. Without you trying to make anything happen, just give permission as you breathe out and release. And so, coming back to the breath as you breathe out to release, you can allow this process of unwinding and loosening up and settling down of body and mind to continue in the background. And now for step number 3, to go deeper into our meditation in this session, we're going to make use of a different support. We're going to make use of loving kindness. So to help us locate the support of meditation, loving kindness, we're going to make use of a few simple phrases, something that we can return our attention to and help us to connect with our natural kindness within our own hearts. So feel free to change the phrases and see if you can slowly and mindfully just repeat the words and direct them towards yourself. Wishing, may I live in safety. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So say the phrases at your own pace, fast or slow, entirely up to you. But see if you can stay connected with the loving intention behind the words. May I live in safety. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Coming back to the phrases of loving kindness, if you do get distracted, which is perfectly fine, see if you can be kind to yourself, your body and mind. No need to get frustrated or upset, but just come back and repeat the phrases at your own pace. Don't feel that you need to manufacture any feeling in particular. Instead, try to say the words with as much sincerity you can find. Just from the bottom of your heart, wish yourself to be well and happy. May I live in safety. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Coming back to your phrases of loving kindness, each time you say a phrase, see it as offering care and concern towards yourself, taking care of yourself. So as you say the words, sometimes a warm feeling of loving kindness may arise within your heart. If that is happening, see if you can entwine the feeling with the words and offer them back to yourself. If there is no feeling, that's perfectly fine. And even if you do feel a bit bored or irritated or frustrated, see if you can just allow those feelings to be and return your full attention to the words and the intention behind them. May I live in safety. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then you're most welcome to continue radiating loving kindness towards yourself for the rest of the session if you like. Or you can, at this point of time, turn your attention to the people closest to you, those that you love, you care for. And we can offer loving kindness to them in the same way, using similar words. So bring to mind your loved ones, one at a time, and offer them the same phrases, wishing, may you live in safety, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you live with ease. You can spend a short time or long time with each of them at your own pace, and just radiating loving kindness to those people closest to you, wishing them to find happiness and the causes of happiness. May you live in safety. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Okay, so that's loving, just 20 minutes meditation on loving kindness. Any questions so far? It's quite alright if you don't feel a single drop of loving kindness at all during a loving kindness meditation. Because if you do it more often, you notice that we have other types of feelings. We get very bored. Then this person that you're supposed to love, you profess to love, you find them very irritating. You remember all those things that irritates you so much about this person. So those there's a range of different kind of feelings as a response. Yeah. But that's fine. That's actually human. That's natural. And in fact, the meditation allows you to go deeper so that regardless of what the surface responses, the feelings comes and go, there is something deeper, you know, this caring concern, this deeper intention that despite all the different feelings that the person may trigger within you, there is still this commitment to love, to care, to show concern. And when you can touch that deeper layer, there is also a feeling. It's a much very wonderful, very wholesome feeling, you know, which allow the love to endure beyond through all those difficulties and challenges. Yeah. Okay. So. And in this kind of loving kindness meditation, the very support itself provide a kind of wholesomeness and pleasantness that reassure the mind, that help the mind to settle down. And also when sometimes when the warm feeling of love arises, it is very pleasant, right? And that pleasantness also helps to draw your attention back to it. So you find that it makes it much easier to settle your mind, okay? So there's one way we can help to not only settle the body, but also settle the mind. So far, okay, you kind of with me? Well, you don't say anything, also there's nothing I can do, right, if you're not with me. I want to introduce two types of pleasant experiences that can come out of meditation. This is a little bit technical, but I think it's important to be aware of it. The first one, the different names, the different translation for them. You know, there are two types. One is called, sometimes people call it joy. Some people may call it bliss. I prefer the word rapture. Rapturous. Like on drug like that. Oh, right. No. So it's a very kind of exciting, kind of pleasant sensation. Sometimes it gets a little bit too exciting, then you may actually find it a bit unsettling, but it's called rapture. I will explain more. The second type sometimes is translated as happiness. I prefer the word contentment. So you can think of it as the happiness of contentment. And this one is much more peaceful. And sometimes it's so much more subtle also compared to rapture. Rapture is quite coarse, quite obvious. Whereas the happiness of contentment that come out of your meditation can be so subtle that you don't really notice it. But it's also both are something pleasant, okay? Now why do I introduce this is even very early on in your meditation, they make an appearance in some of your meditation session. So it's good to know about it. And then when they make an appearance, please see if you can recognize them. And then you can, because as you recognize them, you become aware of them, you make them a part of your meditation experience. You're bringing them into your meditation. And just as I said, they help to settle your mind. Your mind says, wow, something nice is happening in this meditation session. Forget about work. Forget about this, forget that. Forget about the holiday. No. All those things start to drop off because all you are aware of and all you start to pay attention to is this pleasant sensations that is coming out of your meditation. And you don't need to force it, you don't need to do anything. It's just, it's here. It's already here. You know?
Why don't you just enjoy it?
Yeah. And the reason why I think it's important to mention is because sometimes we are so attached to the meditation instruction, so like word for word, you know, so rigid sometimes. Pleasure arises. Forget about it. The breath. No. So you don't even enjoy something nice happening. No. All you are worried about is the breath. Stay with the breath. I must stay with the breath. Forget about the breath. It's nice, right? Just enjoy it. Then when the feeling fades, which they do, then you can go back and find your breath. Okay? But the more you associate your meditation experiences with something really pleasant, really wonderful, the more you are building these new habits in which you say, oh, yeah, I missed my meditation today. I'm so busy. I must go back to it. It's so wonderful. I want to meditate. It's a little bit like when you are chasing some Chinese drama or some Korean drama or something on Netflix, you know. Oh, you cannot stop. You must don't want anything to interfere your binge watching, right? The binge watch, right? Yeah. Because your attention naturally gravitates towards it. How wonderful it is you are binging on your meditation. Go out? No. I must meditate. I want to meditate. Yeah. So when that happened, the meditation itself gathers its own momentum, you know, that allowed you to return your attention to it. Okay. So what is rapture? Some of you may already experience it. There are 5 levels of rapture. The first level is called minor rapture. And I always describe it as something very superficial, like sensations that happen only at the skin level. Some sort of buzzing sensation. Sometimes people, you can include those goosebump sensation, like hair standing on it, not because of the cold draft, okay? But there's something happening within you that you let your hair stand on end. It's a form of rapture, minor rapture. They don't last very long, they just come and go, right? And sometimes when people meditate, they feel, like I feel, some buzzing sensation at my fingertips, like bzzz. Maybe I'm just weird, okay. But you can also call that minor rapture. So anything, that sensation that is a bit strange, not because an ant is walking on your skin, okay, but sometimes there are sensations at the skin that feels like something is moving or walking on it. So anything superficial on the skin level that seems unusual, you can call them minor rapture. They're not necessarily pleasant, but they're just a bit weird. Yeah. Second type is called flash light, like a flash of lightning, flash-like rapture. So again, it's very short in duration, but sometimes you feel like there is like the wire sort of connect within you somewhere, and there's a sensation that sort of shoot through your body, like zzz, gone. But it happens deeper, beyond the skin. It's like connection that has been broken, a reconnect, and then you feel the movement of, for better word, energy within your body. Also very short in duration, this is flesh-like rapture. The third one, from the third one onwards, is much more noticeable and much more pleasant. The third one is called wave-like rapture. That means this kind of buzzing or strange sensations moves like wave, you know. It intensifies and then it fades away and then it intensifies. It comes and goes like a wave. Waves breaking on the rocks or the beach. Yeah. So that is wave-like rapture. And the fourth one is called uplifting rapture. Uplifting means like floating, like become very light. Right? So you can experience it with some parts of your body seems to get lighter and lighter and like, Or you can experience it with the whole body. The whole body seems to like, it's not quite like levitating, but you feel like you are levitating, very very light. Instead of, normally you feel your body very heavy, very dense, and a lot of aches and pain. This one is the opposite. It's very light, very spacious, very like fluffy kind of thing. And the fifth one, you will only experience when you go much deeper in your meditation. It's called all-pervasive rapture, which is that rapturous sensations spread not just on the skin, but throughout the whole body. all pervasive. It pervades your entire body. It's like you are soaking your whole body in a swimming pool of rapture. You know, it's all pervasive. Now that will come much later. That one is only when you work through the different obstacles and the hindrances. Yeah. But the first four, sooner or later, if you persevere with meditation, you will encounter something similar to it. Right? When you notice it, usually you will notice rapture. It's very attention grabbing, because it is actually quite often I don't find it necessary. Pleasant, but it's very weird. And also it's a bit exciting. You say, oh, something is happening. I don't know what's going on. Something is happening. Yeah. So you tend to notice them. So now you have a name to label it, rapture. And rapture happens, my own theory is when some kind of holding, but rapture is more physical. Some physical holding releases itself. Like for example, if you clench your fist, for a very long time, it all goes numb. Sometimes you're so used to it, you even forget how to open your fist, right? So rapture is like a clenched fist that has been numb for a very long time starts to open up. And then sensations start to come back. Like sometimes like a rush of sensations. And I think rapture is sometimes associated with that. Some kind of blockage, some kind of holding that's been released. And with that release comes the waves of sensations. Right? And rapture also tends to, at least the first few times, they don't hang around very long. They come and then they go. And some of the more unusual experiences people have in meditation can be associated with rapture. One of them is called involuntary movements of some part of your body. Some people, when they meditate, then the head starts to nod. They didn't do anything, but they just say, why is my head nodding? You know? Yeah, so some kind of release of tension. Or otherwise, it's a movement of shoulders and sometimes even so very weird thing, but they are part of, I consider them part of rapture. A release of, in this case, physical tension, a very sudden release of physical tension that has been held within the body for a long time, right? The second type of pleasure is what I call happiness of contentment, which is much more subtle, much more to do with the mind. It's like the mind is so happy to just be here doing almost nothing, and it doesn't have no need for anything else. It doesn't want anything else, doesn't long for anything else. It isn't seeking for anything else. So it's just happy to just be, like, happy to be home and do nothing. Right? And of course, it's harder to notice because it's almost nothing is happening. Right? But there is this sense of tranquility associated with this. It's very peaceful. And it's almost like, and you occasionally you come, it's like you're just happy with the breath. The breath flow in, flow out, flow in, flow out, flow in, flow out. It's fine, perfectly fine. Most people thought you are siao, right? You're a bit strange, right? And what's so interesting about watching your breath going in and out, you know, like after a few times you say, is there anything else I can do? But when you experience the happiness of contentment, you are almost happy to observe the breath. Just doing very normal thing. Sometimes we have this feeling of happiness or contentment when for example, in a certain period of your life, many, many things happen. Like one thing after another, you're running around, you're doing this, you're doing that. And just constantly, there are lots of things on your mind you need to do. And then one day comes when all those things are settled. You don't have to do anything. You say, oh, this is so good. I don't want to go shopping, I don't do this, I just stay at home, stay in bed, you know, just lie there and do nothing. You know, there is a kind of comfort and a contentment to just be, that nothing is happening in your life, nothing requires your attention, nothing requires you to do, to take care of, and you're just happy to be here and now. So So that is a little bit like the happiness of contentment. Okay? So these are the two types of pleasure that can come out of your meditation, and if you do encounter them, please don't waste them. Please really notice them and really let them into your awareness and enjoy them. Okay? After all, they usually don't last very long. They will go. So when they are here, you enjoy it. And that helps to build a strong association for your mind. Meditation and pleasant experience become associated. Right? And when that happens, you will have a very you start to develop this longing for meditation, start to gravitate towards it. Because most time we develop negative association with meditation. Or meditate. Oh, my poor knee is going to hurt. Then my legs will go numb. And then my lower back will start to hurt. And then my mind will be all over the place. So a lot of negative association, right? Which is why when you hear people talk about meditation, which I usually try not to do outside of work, like social setting, but usually not good things. You know, they will tell you, I meditate once, and then I stop meditating after that. Or they say, I try to meditate, then my mind is all over the place. It's like a kind of occupational hazard, right? Then you do listen to them telling you all their unpleasant experience during meditation. Say, not necessary. Yeah. It's a negative association. So it's better to build positive association. Okay? I talk a lot today. Because I have a lot of material to cover. And now I need to introduce another type of meditation, visualization, which is not my strong point. But some people are very visually oriented, and so visual images come naturally to them. And there are also a lot of meditation that we make use of visual images, okay? And you can use that also as support for your calm abiding meditation. So I want to introduce you one that is called body of light. Sometimes they call it purification. Because I'm not good with visualization, I tend to tie my visualization practice with something that I'm comfortable with. So I tie it with the breath. So in fact, actually most of my meditation has something to do with the breath. Yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm combining two different modality, tactile sensations and visual images. I sort of bind them together. So much so that there's quite often when if I try to visualize, nothing comes to mind. I don't have any images. But then if I tie with the breath, at least I will always have the breath. While I'm still alive. Right? So the breath will be there to support me. And then after a while, then I don't feel very anxious, right? Because sometimes when you ask to visualize and nothing comes, then you get very frustrated, right? You're not happy. I'm failing at my visualization, which is not so helpful for meditation. So in this case, there's always the breath, right? So no worries. Then as I relax into the meditation, then naturally the creative aspect of the mind, the more visual aspect, starts to activate, right? So that's the principle behind it. And this meditation, what I'm trying to do is, I'm trying to introduce, how do I want to present this? Okay, most people when they come across the visualization practice, the instruction tends to ask them to visualize something. Visualize a Buddha in the space in front of you, visualize a ball of light above your crown, and then visualize all this thing flying here and there and going out in, visualize a lotus in your heart. Then suddenly you realize, I don't know how a lotus look like, So you have a blank in the mind, yeah. And then, but the lotus doesn't look very nice, it looks a bit wilted, Yeah, so I have all this problem. This kind of instruction works best if you have a very very relaxed mind, not like mine. So the mind very relaxed, very open, then automatically deep within your mind, some memories will just come up, some images will surface, like lotus, dong, lotus image. Some people are very good at this, I'm very bad, yeah. Like those, it's like Google image search like that, you know, you put lotus, then all these images will just come up, yeah. So if it comes easily to you, then it's no effort, right? Then you can enjoy the image. Whereas if you are like me, and I draw blank, then what happens is I just very habitually, I tense up. I try to, what I call constipated practice, I try to squeeze the lotus out somewhere inside my mind, right? And then you notice that then visualization becomes very effortful. In fact, when I first start, I worked so hard until I got a headache, you know, because I was trying to Buddha, okay, Buddha, all right, Buddha, head, the Buddha is, the head is there, the arms, the legs, then the Buddha cannot be naked, right, must have some cloth right, wrapped around him. Then usually what happens is I got the leg right, then the head disappear, then the head right. So I struggle a lot. You can feel my tension. Then there's one occasion where I finally got the Buddha to sit there in the space in my mind. Then you know what happened? The Buddha actually stand up and walk off and disappear. It actually happened to me. So the Buddha get a bit sick of me and say, "Can you stop fooling around with me?" Yeah. So then I just gave up. I said, "Forget about this Buddha meditation. I just can't do it." Yeah. But actually, I feel a lot of tension in my head, in my eyes, and I'm not uncommon for those of us when we try visualization practice, try too hard. Okay, so this meditation, I also want to introduce a way for those of you who are similar to me, is don't try too hard. In fact, don't try at all. No. Find a way that allow your mind to come up with the image in its own time. Yeah. So don't stress yourself out, even when you're doing a visualization practice. Okay, so, okay, so the instruction for this meditation, or my recommendation, is I want to transform this body of mine. You know? I have a certain image of my body in my mind. I want to transform it into a body that is not made of flesh and bones and filled with all these organs and stuff. I want to transform it into something very divine and special and sacred. I want to transform it into a body of light. It's like, wow, like full of LED all over the place, shining out, yeah. But with much better association. Yeah. So the way I do it is, I want to do it slowly, no need to rush. So each time I breathe in, not only do I take in oxygen, fresh air, I also imagine I breathe in something really positive. Right, and I want it to have some quality that we associate with things that are positive. So those of you who are very good at visualization, I give you, there are three things I would like to let in. One is light, this brightness, radiance. So you breathe in light. Then of course, usually they will ask this question, what color do you want me to visualize? No, I haven't reached there yet. I just want light. I don't care what color it is. But if you are very good, yellow light, green light, blue light, rainbow light. Whoa. Yeah, I don't know, that's your problem. Because I just stick with the light, okay? The second quality is you try to breathe in a sense of warmth. Warmth, not something like, not like the stuffy heat of Singapore weather, but warmth that sort of allow you to feel very relaxed, very soothing kind of warmth. All right, light, warmth. And if you're really good, imagine you breathe in something that is blissful. This one is very hard. Yeah? Something that, something really blissful and nice coming in. I don't know what that is. I'm still at the light stage. So light, warmth, and bliss. Why we use this? Because they have very positive association in our human experiences. And, you know, when something is good, it feels blissful, feel very pleasant. Or sometimes you feel warmth that allow you to relax, and nobody massage in an ice cold room, right? Usually there's some kind of warmth and you feel heat generated within your body as you relax, yeah? And then light, something bright and radiant. So these are positive associations. I breathe it in, into my lungs, and then I'm going to spread it to the different parts of my body so that the light, the warmth, and the bliss flow into every single cell within my whole body, right? Into the organs, you know, into the skin, into the bones. Just basically every cell, every part of the body is illuminated by the light, by the warmth, by the bliss, right? Am I going to do it slowly, part by part? Because then I don't have any sense of urgency or any sense of frustration, you know, to try to sort of immediately conjure up a kind of a whole image of body alike. I don't need to do it. I just need to take care of one part, then move on to another part. And just do it slowly and just be happy with whatever I can get at any moment. You know. If there's light, there's light. Usually there's no light, okay? Usually it's pitch black darkness. But I would say, breathe in the light. Breathe in the light. But I don't see any light. Doesn't matter. Okay? Then if you can, you may feel warmth. You can breathe in and let in some warmth. I know the aircon is a bit chilly here. And then sometimes there's any pleasant sensations. You just let it in. Right? Let it, since you just imagine it spreading and filling up your entire body. Okay? Sounds good? Let's give it a try, yeah? So just as before, once again, settle your body into your meditation posture. So really just become aware of how your body is feeling in your posture. Choose one that is most supportive for your body, and especially allow your back, your spine to feel comfortable, at ease, and be naturally upright. And rest your hands and arms in such a way that allow your shoulders to be relaxed. And usually I suggest people they can close their eyes completely. But if you feel like at any point of time you can open your eyes, you can even open them a little to let in some light. So give a few moments for your body to find its way into your posture, to settle into it. And just as before, to help us transition into the meditation, we're going to once again use the breath as a support. So see if you can get in touch with your own natural breath. Just become aware of that wave-like sensations of the breath flowing in and out of your body, expanding, contracting, rising and falling. And see if you can rest your attention on these sensations of the breath. Breathing out, see if you can make use of this opportunity of your out-breath as a chance to release. We release the carbon dioxide in our lungs. And likewise, you can at any point of time release anything unnecessary or unhelpful in your meditation. Just imagine all those hindrances can just flow away with the breath and disappear. Coming back to the breath, and throughout the meditation, all we need to do when we notice that we are a bit distracted, we get a bit drowsy, once you become aware of it, all you need to do, if you can remember, is just to come back to the breath. Coming back to the breath, coming back to your support is the basis of calm abiding meditation. So having given ourselves just a few moments
for our body and mind to begin the transition to come back into meditation, we can now start on the meditation of body of light. In this case, we are going to make use of our power of imagination. Each time as you breathe in naturally, you can just allow the breath to flow naturally, don't have to control it, don't have to make it longer or deeper, just let it flow naturally. And each time as you breathe in, be it a long in-breath or a short one, can be a shallow one, can be a fast one, it doesn't matter. Just imagine, not only are you breathing in oxygen into your own lungs, but you're also letting in something really positive, really wholesome, something really helpful towards yourself, to your own body, to your own mind. And see if you can represent it by the power of your imagination as something radiant and bright, as if you are breathing in radiant light. Give it a color if you like. Usually we say white is associated with purifying, with cleansing, clearing away anything negative. Golden yellow is associated with richness, with enriching, with empowering. So breathe in the light. And along with the light, you can also breathe in a quality of warmth, something heartwarming, something to help your body and mind to be at ease, to relax. And if you can, imagine breathing in something blissful, something felt very pleasant, very soothing. Breathe in the light, the warmth, and the bliss, along with your in-breath. Imagine this energy flows into your lungs, filling up your lungs. Coming back to your natural breath, as you breathe in, mentally allow in something radiant, warm, and blissful into your own body, into your own experience. It doesn't matter if nothing happens. See if you can stay with the breath, come back to the breath, and let the breath sensation be a support. And somewhere along the way, your mind, your creative mind can participate and bring forth the image of light, of warmth and bliss. And for the rest of the session, we're going to spread this positive energy to all parts of our body, part by part. Imagine that light and so on fill up the cells in our body, just like the oxygen. Oxygen transported by the blood to all parts of the body, to every cell within our body. Starting from the crown, starting from the head, imagine the breath, the oxygen, the light traveled in the blood to your brain, touching all the cells of the neurons, filling them up not only with oxygen but with something radiant, bright, something warm and blissful. And then from the head, from the brain, allow that light, that warmth and so on to spread, touching your face, touching all the muscles in the face, the skin of your face, softening any tension, any tightening, bringing in a feeling of softness, of ease, and maybe even of radiance, warmth and bliss to your face. Coming back to the breath again and again, let in more of that light, the positive qualities along with the breath. Imagine this energy not just touching your face, but fill up the center of your head, touching the sides, the back of your head, so that your entire head is filled with something radiant, warm and blissful. And imagine that light, that warmth and bliss flows and touches your throat, your neck, the muscles of your neck, or the different structures here, filling up the cells with something really bright and radiant, something warm and blissful. You can endow the image of light and warmth and bliss with other positive qualities. Quality of healing, if you're not feeling well in a certain part of the body. Quality of soothing, if you feel pain or aches in any part of the body. So you can endow it with all sorts of positive qualities that are helpful and beneficial to you. Coming back to the breath, letting in more of the brightness and radiance, let it spread and touches your shoulders, both shoulders, the top of the shoulders, the fronts, the back, the joints, deep within the shoulder itself. Fill up all the muscles, the bones, fill up the spaces between the cells with light, with warmth, with bliss. And imagine as you breathe in, taking in more of that light, it flows from both shoulders down both arms at the same time. Flowing down past your upper arms, touching your elbows, flowing into your lower arms, your wrists, into the hands, the palm, the fingers, all the way to the fingertips. So that both arms are filled with light, with warmth, with bliss. Coming back to the breath, breathing in the light, let it fill up your chest, the lungs, touching your heart, fill up all the spaces within your chest, touching all the muscles, the bones, the structure here, and then cascading down into your abdomen, touching all your organs here, nourishing the tissues, the cells, with something bright, something warm and blissful. And also as you breathe in, letting in more of the light, make sure that it also flows all the way to your back, so that the light touches the muscles in your upper back, your middle back and your lower back. Imagine that light, the warmth and bliss gather in your pelvis, flowing into the organs here, the muscles, the tendons, the bones. And then overflow down your hips, into your thighs, into the legs, both legs at the same time, passing the knees, downwards towards your ankles, and into your feet and toes. And see if you can imagine, or just tell yourself, now your entire body, every cell in this body is touched by the light, by the warmth and bliss. That your entire body becomes a body of light, radiating light and warmth and bliss, not only internally within yourself, but even radiating outwards into the environment. So rest here with this image of the body of light, with whatever you get, as you continue to pay attention to the breath, the in-breath, continue to let in more of that light, making your body continuously radiant, warm and blissful. Just rest your attention here with the breath, breathing in and out the body of light. And then finally we can do what we call dedication, just gather up all the positive momentum we have created here today in our meditations, and you can just give that positive momentum a direction, an objective, dedicate that positive momentum or energy towards the fulfillment of your aspirations, whatever aspirations you have for yourself and for others. Dedicate all this positive energy and momentum you have created in your meditation towards their fulfillment. So that's body of light meditation.
If you want some reading material, there are many books on meditation these days, right? But this one is this is a good one by my teacher, Rinpoche Sangye Kadro. And so if you want to pick up some reading material, especially those presented in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, which is what we are doing here, also my background, then you might want to have a look at this. It's called How to Meditate by Katin McDonough or Rinpoche Sangye Kadro. There are free copies downstairs in the pre-distribution cupboard on the first floor, ground floor, so you can pick up if you like. You can also take this copy. Yeah. So if you want something more to read about, then I recommend this book. Okay. Any questions? Do you see the light? Do you see the light? It's light. You see? Yeah. It's very bright, isn't it? Okay, so actually one of my meditation teacher always, I was on a retreat with her, and every interview is, do you see the light? I said, no. I said, why are you doing your meditation? Thinking. Said, by the third meditation interview, she said, do you see the light? Said, no. What are you doing? Still thinking. Then she said, what's there to think about? It's like a 9-day retreat or something. I said, I don't know. Just think about this and that, you know. Lots of things to think about, yeah. Yeah, but not to worry too much if you, like me, you don't see any light, okay? Okay, so that is a visualization. No question? Okay. I'll just repeat my slogan in case you never heard of it before. Regular practice is better than irregular practice, and irregular practice is infinitely better than no practice. There's no point attending a meditation course and then don't meditate, right? It's like, you know, attending a cooking class and never cook, right? Or attend a piano lesson and never practice the piano. You know, I mean, I can appreciate sometimes it's hard to find time to meditate on your own at the time. So while the course is going, at least if you come every week, then you get to do regularly one meditation or two meditation per week. Yeah, and in fact, that is actually a good way to do it, to join a group and just do a regular weekly meditation. Do not underestimate the effect of just even just one meditation a week at a regular kind of interval, because over time it builds a habit for you. Okay, so if you can, regular practice, not necessarily daily practice. Just daily practice sometimes can be very like heavy burden for a lot of people, but just something regular. If you cannot, then something irregular, okay? But if you want to gain the benefit of meditation, then we do need to practice it, right? So thank you very much for your attention. Hope to see you next week. Yeah.